You might like to open your Bible to Romans and chapter 3. Romans and chapter 3. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you. Thank you very much. So here we are. Honor yourself. Honor your saving grace. We're counting on it. In Christ's name, amen. In our study on Wednesday, just to tarry that a little bit further, if I may. And so the title, What Is, and the world we live in, us humans, we carry on eating, drinking, coming, going, buying, selling, school, work, home. That's how we live. And we live that way. That's what we do. It's ordinary, dull sometimes, boring sometimes, but that's what we do. And we do it day in and day out. Some have more energy about things. Communists pursuing communism, people pursuing socialism, people pursuing materialism, secularism, humanism, Islam. Those are people that have got some zest to pursue things. Researches, etc. And all of it, when it's done, all of it is a great deal of energy and effort to carry out our daily lives as best we see them and understand them. So what is for one person, that's what it is. That's what they do. That's how they do it, day in and day out. That's what they do. And everyone's doing what they want to do, how they want to do it, and they're doing it. There's no question about it, and they do it. Some people have a little bit of other things like religion and the occult and everything, Rosicrucianism and all those different things. And they have them, and Ichabod, whatever it is over here in Washington Street or whatever, and they think a soul drifting, finding space. People do that because they want to have some sense of the future, some sense of something besides this. But most of us are quite content with this, in whatever form it is, and we don't have much, we don't have anything to go past that. Our religion, things like that, but it doesn't do much for us, actually. It doesn't change us. Except in, if you were Islamic or something, zealous, you'd be changed. Now, having said that, then is it? Is that all it is? That's the question. Having said this is what it is, but is it really that? Now, that's what I want to answer. Again, over to Romans and chapter 3. And again, moving right along, but quick enough to get the things. Chapter 3 and verse 9. Remember, the book of Romans is a treatise on righteousness and why humans need to be saved, etc. Chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, Jews, that is. No, in no wise. For we have before proved, put to the proof, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Sliding down, verse 14, their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood. Verse 16, destruction and misery are in their ways, And the way of peace they have not known, verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. That's God's diagnosis in a very brief way to tell us. Humans are what? Verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, so that the people, ordinary, but then people that are trying to, I'm going to do the best I can and get saved and everything, but you can't get saved. You can't get off the ground. We're bound, earthbound. That's where we are. You're bound to your body, aren't you? You can't get out of your body. No matter how you try, we have systems, religious systems. Whatever you try, become a it. Just meditate till you can think nothing. That's called being dead. Anyway, in the process. So all of that we're doing, meditating, trying to be something. And in the process, then there's the law we're trying to do, as I started to say. And we'll do. No, you won't, because you can never do. You can never make it right. You can't make wrong right. You can't make crooked straight. That's what God says. You can't change the spots of a leopard. You just can't do it. It is not in your power. We're humans. We're stuck in our body. Can't get out. We're stuck on the earth. You can't now, apart from going law of aerodynamics and floating up there somewhere around the earth. Apart from that, you really can't get off. We're stuck. We're stuck in the earth. We're stuck in the body. We're stuck in the system, the world system. Now, having said that, verse 19 again. Now we know that what things soever the law saith to them that are under the law, that purpose every mouth may be stopped, so that no one anywhere, anyhow, and all the world may become guilty before God. The word guilty is the word judgment, liable to the penalty. You are liable to be condemned. You are all condemned. Didn't see that? You don't have to turn there. John 3:18. Why are we condemned already? 3:18. Because we don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're condemned already. Verse 36. The wrath of God abideth on you already. So nothing's new. Everything is in order. So it isn't a big thing going to happen. It already is. But we don't see that. Hang on. Now, so therefore we're guilty. And so in the process of being and looking to God and the grace of God that we need, so what are we in? We're back in the word we're looking at, bondage. The word bondage, slavery, to be enslaved, like Egypt was, like we shared. Egypt in bondage. They needed to be rescued. Now, so therefore, here we are looking to God, and in the process, we're liable to, and we're guilty, and we're liable to the penalty. So, having said that, and while you're here in Romans chapter 8, just to remind us, and once we get this locked in, we can get the other part. Romans chapter 8, picking up, please, if I may. In verse 6, the middle of chapter 8, verse 6, in the middle of the context. For to be carnally, fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal, fleshly mind is enmity, hostility, an enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So in the human body, ordinary, we do everything, it's what we do, it's how we do it. The bad guy does the bad guy things, and the good human good does the human good. Everyone's doing what they're doing, and that's the way it is. It's the way it is in the world. People's doing what they do. Now, and that's where we're stuck. Having said that, and keeping that in mind, no flesh shall glory, over to John, Gospel of John, chapter 6. And we need to add, So we know humans are stuck, and we have no way to get out of this. You can do whatever you want, religiously, politically, anyway, but you can't get free. You're in bondage. That's what we said. God says you're in bondage. God says you're slaves to the system, to sin. Wages of sin is death. John chapter 6, picking up, we just said, no flesh shall glory in his presence in Romans 8. Now, John, the Lord said it to him. Remember it in our study. Verse 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth, maketh alive. The flesh profits nothing. And guess what? Nothing means nothing. That's what nothing means. Nothing means nothing. No flesh shall glory in my presence. That's what it means. And then, verse 63, the word that I speak unto you, the words that I speak, are spirit and life. So God's word, hang on to that, is full of life, but we're stuck in the flesh, and we're in bondage and slaves. Now, Lord, what did you do to rescue us, to help us? John chapter 5. And in John chapter 5, picking up, please, in chapter 5, in verse 19, directly in the context again. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, because he made himself equal with God. Verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do, there's a little word, nothing. The flesh, no flesh, profits nothing. No flesh. Lord, what did you do? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Verse 30, just all kinds of places. I can do of my own self, I can of my own self do nothing. There's your little word, nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because, why is that? Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. God, did you, we just said it this morning, God, the car was designed for gas. Your computer and smartphone and all of it has to have a battery. Without the power, it's useless, useless. God created you for himself in his image and likeness, to enjoy God. God created you for him to be resident, for him to be president in your life to produce. You don't need a battery and you don't need gasoline. Humans need God. That's what they need. That's what they need. Now, and our Lord Jesus demonstrates that. Without him, without God, nothing. It's nothing about you, about me. It's about God, you enjoying in a unique relationship to God. Hang on to that. Now, having said that little bit, in the light of God's awesome working and outworking, over, if you would please, to Matthew. And in Matthew chapter 6. And in Matthew chapter 6, picking up, please, the thought. If I can, in verse, sliding down to verse 24, directly again for time's sake in the context. And the Lord said, in his wonderful discourse to all the people, no man can serve two masters. The word serve is the word slave. You cannot be a slave to two masters. You can't do that. Verse 30, 24. Four, reason. either. He will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. There's two. You can't be both. There's no middle ground. There's God. All these things, we can't do them. We all done them so many times. Ephesians 2, 2 and 3, the prince of the power of the air, all us humans on planet Earth in our world system, which we are part of, and we're caught up in our old nature, and the devil is using, he's the boss. He has us. Why? Because we can't get to God in our old nature. We're trying to do everything without God. Therefore, therefore, the devil has a heyday. He's the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world, etc. And he has it. He's the master. He's the master. No matter how you cut the cookie, he's the boss. If you were in a communist country, any country, our country, any country, you're under the government, like it or not. You can do and go in the grocery store and do this and do that. Sure you can. But you're under the government. The government, the taxes, whatever they want, and they're going to do what they do. Communist company, whatever it is, communist country, whatever, African country, Venezuela, whatever you want. You're going to do whatever you do, because that's what we do. That's all we do. What else is there? And the government's over us. It's over us. We're in bondage. The two masters, the God of this world and God. And you're a slave to one of them. That's what you are. Like it or not, and remember we shared that wonderful truth, the same little word, working, that's in Ephesians 2:2, is in Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh, underline, in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God's will. Now, having said that, and you can't serve two masters. You cannot serve, the word slave again, God and mammon. What is mammon? The word mammon, Greek word, is what you're trusting in. Whatever you are trusting in. We trust ourselves. We trust the system, but we have to in that sense. We trust the self and the system, and we do all of that, and we serve the substance, but what we eat and what we want to eat, we buy and sell and do what we do and get what we get and go where we go. That's what we do. So therefore we go, and the self and the system, substance, whatever you're trusting in. Either you're trusting God or you're trusting something other than God. That's what you're trusting. You can't trust. If you're trusting something else, you aren't trusting God. If you're trusting God, you aren't trusting something else. There's no middle ground. I wish you were hot or cold. There is no middle ground. We like a middle ground. We like middle ground when we can play with it. Play with it. You can't. If you love the world, the love of what? The love of the Father is not in you. That's pretty clear. You can't do both. It's impossible. But we think it is, so we manage and maneuver. But hang on, that's our problem. So, having said that little bit, caught. Now, illustrate, jump ahead, over if you would to Galatians. And in Galatians, chapter 4. And before I do 4, you need to go to chapter 5. I want to give you the root word that's the basis for this. And chapter 5, over there in verse 25. 5 and 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now the word verb, walk, is what we're looking at. Walk, it means to behavior, to set in order. How do we walk? One step at a time. That's how we walk. We don't walk 25 steps, we walk one step at a time. But one thing at a time. The simple step, order, having order, order, behavior, how we go down, one step, you start. You gotta have a starting point. So if you're gonna go somewhere, you gotta start walking. And you'll see it again in verse, chapter 6, and in verse 16. You'll see it. It's only used twice. And as many as walk, there's your little word, walk according to the rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Now, that's the word walk. Now you're ready for that word, that's the root word. Now, chapter 4. And in chapter 4, you will note, the Galatians are caught up with the law and everything, trying to get free. They're trying to get out of being in bondage. And the Spirit of God is exhorting them to get free, to get free. So therefore, when we come to chapter 4, picking up, if I can, in verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, a slave, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. In other words, Israel is under the law. The law keeps them like in jail, so they can't get way off. Israel, as long as under the law, they couldn't get into too much idolatry. And then when they did, God cured them and took away and leveled the city by Nebuchadnezzar. And they went 70 years in Babylon, where they quit idolatry. It took Babylon 70 years, and you won't find Israel idolatrous now. Not like it was. They just don't do it. But they quit. Now, having said that, verse 3 in particular, even so we, when we were children, little ones, were in bondage under the elements of the law, the elements, walking one step at a time, in order, a series. All things start with something. When you go to school, you start with 1 + 1 = 2. And you start learning. That's what it goes. And the alphabet, you get the alphabet, A, B, C, D, E. And you start. You can't just start with great big words. You start one thing at a time in order as you move down the corridor. That's the word, elements. Now, you're caught up, the children, verse 3, are in bondage, slavery, under the elements, the ABCs of the world. That's what they're caught. They're caught. They got to get, is it meant just to be it is and what it is and how it is, and that's all we do and that's all there is. Religion up to your eyeballs, whatever you want to do, that's all there is. No, that is not the case, and that's all they're going to say, but they are never going to say, is it? Is that all it is? No, it isn't. It is not about that. The ABCs are awesome, aren't they? You all learned them. Maybe we're still learning them. Anyway, if you don't get past ABC, how can you make a syllable? Your element, the basic starting point. You've got to get past the ABCs. Otherwise, you could never read. You couldn't make a word. What are words? A bunch of the alphabet stuck together. Have meaning. They have to have, grow up. Elements. A, B, C, first grade, second grade, third grade. You're going to get, do it. And if you don't, what are the Jews, the believers? Believers don't get stuck in the elements. Well, here we are. We know how to eat. We know how to go to school. We do this, we do that. You're caught in the elements. and you're caught by them. You live your whole life like that. Routine, whatever it is, and whatever belief, and you want communism, whatever. Whatever you want to do, that's what you're doing. And you're missing out. You're locked in. Gravity is locked you onto Earth. That's a friend, so you don't disappear. On the other hand, you're locked in your body. And you can't, if you're stuck, and you won't get free. You're in bondage. You're in slavery. Chapter 4, verse 9. And now, after that you have known of God, in other words, God knows all of you, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? We got to go back to the ABCs. No, you got to get past the ABCs. You can't keep staying on the ABCs. You got to get past them. And if you don't get past them, you can't go anywhere. You're caught with knowledge. Here's all the awesome, here's the flowers. And the people that study flowers and look at it with microscopes and super duper microscopes and look at germs and people, there are people that are very, just think of it, that study all kinds of things, your body. And they study things. And they understand, you and I don't know them. They studied this and they studied that. And we didn't, we just us. Whatever we did, that's all. But boy, do you know how much more there is to understand about a flower? Wow. About a bug? We just saw a couple of deer coming across from the house over there. They were sitting in the bushes, trees, looking at us. The deer, there they were. And the deer, now a deer is this big with a little tail, white and black for some reason. There it is. Wow. Boy, there's a whole lot to understand about a deer. A deer has a heart, how the deer breathes, how the deer lives, how the whole body functions instinctively. Wow, your body. But some people study this, but most of us don't study most things. We can't. We don't have time or energy, whatever. But some do. They advance. Everything is made to advance. The ABCs, all the laws of science, gravity, all the laws of natural law, and all of those different things. They're awesome laws. We've been able to have the exponential knowledge in your thing with speed, thousands and zillions of bits of information. You push a button and zip, wow, wow. Faster than it zipped right past us like a jet plane. We couldn't catch it. That's how it is. And God, and it's our world. But we're all stuck down here at this level. God said, do you know how much more you're missing? You're missing the whole ball of wax here. Hang on. Now, Colossians chapter 2. And we tend to get tied up. Colossians chapter 2. May I go directly for time's sake, verse 8. Beware, 2:8, Colossians, in the light of looking to God and in faith and growing rooted and grounded in Him. Verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments. Do you see the word rudiment? That is the same word as element. Element, the ABCs. The element, the walking in order, steps one at a time as you do things. Everything starts somewhere with understanding. And it starts. And what are you supposed to do? Keep understanding as much as you can, and it's profitable to understand, keep going. Because you haven't even touched anything. Our own body, with all of its marvelous things they can do now, they haven't even scratched the surface of what they could do. The mind, we did it with Cain. Cain built a city, etc. And covered, what are you going to do if you leave God out? Build a city. Bring everyone together and help each other so that we can make it without God. Now, so here's Colossians. And what are they doing? Well, they're caught up. And among other things, they're caught up with the worship of demons and angels. We've got to pray to somebody, look to somebody. Somebody got to help us. And to do things with your body and things like that. They're caught up. They're caught up in the system. But it isn't taking them anywhere. All of it's elemental. All of the wonderful laws and science and viruses and everything and all of it, how it works and why they live and why they die and how you handle them. All of that awesome, awesome, awesome information is baby C's. It isn't about that. And our world is stuck in it. And exponentially, we're getting more stuck because of the speed. Because we can't, we don't know it. The computer knows it. Push the buttons. That has all the answers. And I know that it's starting to talk back. You guys, girls know that more than I do. And talking back, and they're telling you. And they're looking to build what? You say, you talk to it, you talk to your thing, you talk to the little box, the black thing, and you look at it and say, listen, I don't feel good. And the thing will look at you and give you an answer. And say, well, how do I handle this problem? And the thing's going to look at you and give you an answer. So you don't have to think anymore. And what I do is, instead of talking to people, I just put my little thing up in front of them, talk to me. Here's my little machine. Talk to my machine. You see. Colossians. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over, if you would, please, to Philippians in chapter 2. And in Philippians in chapter 2, picking up in thought, would you please note our Lord's wonderful purpose of coming, and the Lord, Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and our Lord, it tells us, of his wonderful subjection, condescension, down to be a human, born in Bethlehem of Judea. And therefore, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, that is, he's God, God is God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because God is God, who he is. Secondly, verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form, same word, to be a servant. The word servant is the word slave. What did he do? He went down to the very bottom to save us. He became a baby, born in the same way we were, mother's womb. And in the process, was born a slave. He could have been born a king's son. He could have been born some magnificent something. No, an ordinary carpenter's son. And not even a carpenter's son. Born of the Virgin Mary. Wow. Now, so therefore, how did you start, God? I went right where you were. You're all slaves to sin. I'm coming right down to where you are. I'm not coming halfway. I'm coming all the way to the bottom. You're slaves to sin. But no, I'm not. Yes, you is. Yes, you is. You're all guilty. And there's no way out of it. You can't. The holiness of God demands his righteousness. And you couldn't produce it in 7 zillion years. Now, so God, here we are looking. So here's the servant, form of a servant, the slave. Now God, help us. Over, if you would please, in the light of that, over to old Colossians. And again, looking to God. And Colossians is about a wonderful thing that God does when we get saved. If you were a prisoner, using illustration, if you were a prisoner, the prisoners have uniforms or something, whatever they got. And they got prisoners, and they come out, and I were to write you, as governor, as president, I'm going to write you a pardon. Write you a pardon. There's the pardon. There it is. You're guilty. You're in prison. You're a slave. I set you free. I have the power to set you free. All you got to do is take the pardon. Why is the pardon possible? Because I paid the price. I died on the cross to make it possible. So here's the pardon. You either take it or you don't. And, you know, historically, there have been those, at least one I know of, that never took the pardon. Remember, it wasn't too long ago either. A few years ago, Texas, I think it was. The lady, or man, whatever it was, knew he was guilty, and he said, no, I deserve to pay the penalty, and he rejected the pardon, and he died. They killed him. They rejected it. He didn't have to take it. Now, God, here's the pardon. Now, God, and what are you going to do? Well, you're going to take the pardon and get saved. And that's a wonderful thing to get saved. Now you're going to get saved, and now what? Well, here you are, and God invites you. We just think of Romans, you don't have to turn there. Romans 8, 15. We were in bondage, slavery, to self, sin, and everything, suffering. And God sets us free and makes us sons. So we're adopted into the family of God and adopted to be placed as sons in the family of God. And as we're placed as sons, we got this prison uniform on. And when we walk through the door, God said, listen, I have a new uniform. I have a new clothing for you. I don't want you walking around with that uniform. As long as you wear that uniform, you're going to think what? Prison. Even though you're not in prison, you think it. In the flesh, uniform. And in the flesh, you're still a prisoner. And as long as you're one of the flesh, you're a prisoner. Right? No matter what you do. And you never get free. Because you're honoring the flesh. You aren't free. Hang on. You aren't free. You're caught. Bondage. Wow. Now, so in the light of that, in God's wonderful Colossians 3, and you know, we're going to skip right by it, but I'll give it to you. Verse 8, but now ye also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, and lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with all its deeds and have put on the new. So what are we supposed to do when we go in the Father's house? You got a new set of clothes, anew. So we're supposed to wear this new set of clothes. We aren't supposed to put the prison thing on the wall to remind us. The prison thing is done. I don't want to see the prison thing in my house. So God, we're trying to present. Think of 1 Corinthians 1:29. No flesh shall glory in his presence. I'm hanging my prison uniform on the wall in my in his house. That prison uniform doesn't belong in his house. So in my relationship to God, you can't serve two masters. In my relationship to God, I don't want to see that uniform. If you do, it profits nothing. You can't go anywhere. You're stuck. Elements, ABCs, you know, whatever you can understand and learn and grow with all the knowledge, you know nothing. So therefore, God, we got to understand what we're up against. We're freed. What's it mean to be saved? Freed, Romans 7. And in Romans chapter 7, picking up, please, in thought, you know it. We've got to skip a whole lot, but hope you get a little bit. Romans chapter 7, And sliding in verse 4, remember now, he's talking about the relationship, and the marriage relationship. When someone dies, they're freed. Because they're freed, they die. So when we come to chapter 7, verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that, purpose, you may be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. We have to die. We have to die. What are you going to do for us, God? I'm going to pay the penalty so you can have a pardon, so you can be free. Otherwise, you're in bondage. The price has to be paid. But I'm not going to give you a piece of paper. It's in my word. I'm going to put myself in Christ in your heart. And I am the pardon for your life. I myself am your pardon. I myself have paid the penalty for you. You are free. Not because of you, because of God in you. Hang on to that part for a moment. Now, so therefore, verse 6, and now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that purpose we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter of the law. No, you have a wonderful relationship to God when you get saved. It's an awesome relationship to God that you get saved. Now, I have to keep going. And if you did, think of Romans chapter 7 verse 20. And now, if I do, remember Paul struggling in his old nature, trying to get it worked out in his mind. How do you win? How do you enjoy being free? When you're freed, how do you enjoy being freed? Verse 20. Now, and if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth, but sin that dwelleth in me. My problem, I got a sin nature. And I got saved, but it didn't go away. And with God, I got this old nature. And God said that old nature, that old prison uniform, that nature you have is done. And you need to understand, we walk by faith and not by sight. That's how you walk. We're trusting God. We're trusting God. Well, hang on. Well, how am I going to grow and know? Free. Free. What does it mean to be free? Elements. I got to get past the elements. The ABCs. And therefore, as you know, verse 24, our condition apart from God's freedom, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body, from the body of this death? And just think of our study of wretched and all of those things that we just did. Hang on to that. Now, so wretched, miserable, God sets us free. Sets us free in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, and makes us sons. Verse 15, even though we just thought about it. Romans 8:15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage, slavery, again, to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, which we just mentioned. You get saved, and you have a new relationship to God. So we don't want to walk around and make a big deal about our old nature. We have to live with our old nature, and our old nature, we're having to deal with it every hour, every minute. You've got to deal with your old nature. But we've been freed in God's wonderful grace. Now, and the word servant, God, we'll do that first. Over, if you would please, to Romans. And I know we missed things here, but hope you got a little bit. Revelation, I'm sorry. Begins with R. Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. And God became a servant. He became a slave. That's how he went. Born as a baby, a slave. Slave. Everyone else is slave. He became one. Therefore, verse 1, Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. There's your little word, slaves, servants, slaves, bondage, slaves. Things which must shortly come to pass, God's going to show them to his slaves. And he sent and signified it by his angel. And who is going to be the penman? Well, John is. What about John, the end of verse 1? He's a servant, he's a slave. Paul said, I'm a bond slave, a slave of Jesus Christ. What are we all? Slaves. No, you cannot serve. You either serve God or yourself and everything else you trust in. There is no middle ground. There's no halfway house. There's no a little of this and a little of that. No, you're either one or the other at any given moment. Therefore, John, say, that's right, we're all servants, slaves. What are slaves? Slaves are in the know. They're in the know, watch. They're in the know. Now, God, what about the slave business? Ah, God, our Lord Jesus Christ, was a slave to God. To God the Father, the Son, the Son of God, was a slave. He served the will of God solely and wonderfully for God to be God. That's why God created us, for God to be God. Now, that's having said that, now, that's all right. What about tomorrow? Chapter 22, Revelation chapter 22. And you will notice when you come to Revelation 22, if I can pick it up, please, in thought. Over in, oh, wonderful, wonderful section, but, verse 3. 22:3, new heavens, new earth, etc. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants, the word slave, and his slaves. His slaves will serve, will be a slave to him. Everyone in heaven serves God. He's the creator and the savior. That's what you do. Well, I don't like so. Then you won't have to go to heaven. You don't want to be saved? Don't want to serve? Don't want to believe? You don't have to. You don't have to. You're going to be in bondage, though. If you aren't going to be in bondage saved to God in the lake of fire, you're going to be in bondage to yourself and to your sin, and you can't get out. So pick your pick. There's no middle ground. There's no purgatory, little purgatory you could live in. No, it's not there. Not there. No, one or the other. Therefore, verse 6, and he said unto them, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God be, Lord God of the holy prophets, sent his angel to show unto his servants, slaves, the things which must shortly be done. It's what it's going to be. It's a wonderful thing to be wrapped up in totally in God. A slave, that's right. He's my master. Wow, wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, having said that, now what's it mean? Freedom. Over to James chapter 1. We want to enjoy freedom. James chapter 1. And you will notice, please, and you know the context, James 1, picking up, please, in the light of verse 24. Well, you can't even do that. Verse 25, whoso looketh, looking, intently, with great earnestness, looking into the perfect law, full, complete law of liberty. Where is that? That's in God's, you're looking at the Bible. Make believe you're looking at the Bible now. You're looking at the Bible and the wonderful truths of the Bible. We're looking into the perfect law of liberty. What sets us free? Romans, we did it the other day, remember? Romans 8, 32, 36. The truth will set you free. The Son will set you free. What are we doing? God, we get saved, and the Son saves us. He pardons us and frees us. Therefore, verse 25, whosoever looketh into the perfect law, complete law of liberty, freedom, liberty, and continueth therein, is being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So, God, what are we going to do? We're freed. What's free? We're able to read the Bible. We're free to read the Bible. You don't have to be saved to read the Bible. Anyone can read the Bible. But you have to be saved. You have to be freed from your old nature. There has to be a freedom. The elements, we're stuck. I don't want to get stuck in the elements, ABC. This is what I do, and this is us humans on Earth. Gravity and all of these things, we're stuck in it. We're stuck in this world. That's all there is. No, that is not all there is. God meant you to know Him, come to know Him as your Lord and Savior. And as you look and get saved, here and now, saved, what happens? Well, God, you're going to go, and as I look at the perfect law of liberty, it's going to set me free. I'm saved. But if I don't know I'm saved, and I don't know I'm free, and I don't know I'm forgiven, I don't know. No, I'm freed to know I'm forgiven. I'm free to be free, to believe. I believe. What makes it now wonderful? I'm free, no more in bondage to my stupid ignorance and stubbornness and all the other stupidness and all the other things. No, I'm freed. I'm freed to believe and know. I don't have to guess. I don't have to feel it. I know it. Why? Because I'm freed to know it. I'm no more in my prison uniform. I'm freed. Freed. In God's wonderful grace in Christ Jesus. How does it mean? What does it mean to be freed? Over to 1 John. In 1 John, if I may, chapter 5. All the wonderful truths that we study and think about and seek to understand are meant to be enjoyed and practiced because you're freed to know them, free to enjoy them, free to learn them and do them. You're freed to do so. Now, you either understand that or you don't. If you don't understand it, you can read the Bible for the next 1,000 years. Memorize it. What good's it going to do you? Zero. Now, 1 John 5, you know it. Verse 13. I'll read verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, in order, believing, set free, that you may what? K-N-O-W, know that you have eternal life. Now, this isn't the word know, first grade, second grade, third grade, you're learning. It isn't that word. It's the word you know. You know you have a nose. You just know you have a nose. You just know it. You know you're alive. Your heart's beating. You know it. It isn't A, B, C, D, first, second grade, third grade. It's that kind of knowing. It's just you know it. What do you know? That you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. What else do you know? You're freed. 14. And this is the confidence, confidence that you have in Him, that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. How do I know that? Because I'm freed to know it. I'm free to enjoy the relationship. I'm not stuck in myself. Then I can't enjoy it. I can't enjoy it. I can't believe. I'm not believing. I'm not enjoying the truth. I'm stuck down here on Earth's level. And we think this is all it is. a bunch of baloney. Now, verse 15. And if we know, there's your little word, that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know, that we have the petitions, whatever we're asking, that we desired of him. And we don't even have it. We don't need to have it. We want God's will. We want God to be a wonderful Father to us. We want the Spirit of God to outwork his wonderful will in our life in the midst of sin, sorrow, suffering, and all the other dumb things that we face in this country and all the rest of it. And we get afraid. Don't be in bondage. I got to have this on, mask and everything. Nothing. Things are all right in the right place. We're caught, and we aren't getting out. The world, our country doesn't want us to get out. I don't think many of the countries want it to end. They have a power and an understanding by way of fear. I was with a lady, I don't want to take time. Fear. I listened to it. I said, I don't believe. This lady was so afraid. So afraid. Oh, terrible. She's a slave. But we're free. So I'm not going to act like I'm a slave. I'm freed. I'm going to live free. Therefore, verse 20, we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. What that purpose? We may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. I know that. So I know I'm saved. I don't know how many people are sure that. I don't know. I have to guess. I don't know whether they're saved or not. Where's the evidence? But we ought to know it in here, wonderfully so, without any question. And the dynamic, the reality, there's no debate. You want to make a debate? There is no debate. There is no debate about this. I'm free and it's true. That's why I know it's true. I'm not a slave. I'm not caught anymore. God saved me to let me know that what he said is true in looking at the perfect law of liberty. Now, having said that, over to chapter 3. And appreciate your patience and hope you got a little bit. That's all I can say. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3. Verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. What about that love? That we should be called the sons, the children of God. Even the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So if you're going to go around and other people, God's in you. Right? God's in you. When you received Christ as your Savior, didn't you receive God? How'd you get saved? How'd you get pardoned? You received him as your Savior. Believe it. You're freed to believe the impossible, the absurd. It's crazy. It's unbelievable. Wrong. It is absolutely true. And you're caught up in the elements, so you can't understand. God said it is real. But no, we're so caught up in gravity and our world and our thinking and our feelings and we don't believe. Because we aren't acting freed. God freed you when you came to know him as your Savior. Verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know. There we know. What are we knowing? We're afraid to know. What's right? I'm free. I'm afraid. I read the Bible. It's mine. It's all true. I don't have a problem with it. Anything. No part of it. I know that. Verse 2. That when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Like the Thessalonians, they served as slaves to God. 1 Thessalonians 1:9, verse 10, and waiting for God for his coming. They were slaves to the master. God, what did you say, David? It's our whole little thing since March, since all this started. The Lord Jesus, say it for us, David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. He's the shepherd. I'm just a little old sheep, and he's the shepherd. And I'm a servant, a wonderful, wonderful servant to serve God, a slave. Awesome. Uh-huh. And that's what heaven's about. Everyone, seraphim and cherubim and everybody, they're slaves to God's awesome wonderment. Now, and thus we're pardoned, we're forgiven. So that verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So God, it's true. It's true. Is that what it is? No, yes it is. Yes it is. God's in you. Oh, no, I don't feel it. No, well that's what people come and go. I don't even bother with me anymore. I don't. It's only the people that are running the race. That's all. Run the race. That's what it's about. If you don't want to do that, don't do that. Run the race. What? Then you could do whatever you want. I'm just trying to tell you, remind myself and you, that we ought to be enjoying the wonderful liberty Christ has set us free. And you're no more a slave to sin, sorrow, and suffering. You're a slave to Almighty God, who is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, who is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And he is the one we're looking to as we go down the corridor of time. We're free to serve him. Wow. Pardoned. Purchased. His possession. For God to be God. For me, for you, for us to believe with all our heart and enjoy truth. And the truth will set you free. Wonderful. That's what it means to be free. Our Father and God, thank you for your grace and kindness. And go and deal with us. Thank you very, very much. And our Father, we're going to thank you and thank you and thank you again. So help us, little, young, old, school, work, home, hard things, physical things, all kinds of things, God, we face. But God, in facing all of that, we're freed to serve you, the living and only God. It's our privilege for you to be our Lord and Master. For you to be our life and our light. For you to take us as we walk in the light, as thou art in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And God, here we are, wonderfully, wonderfully able to just say thank you for the truth. And the truth is true. The reality is real. The relationship, God. All heaven knows it. It's the earth that's in trouble. The demons know it. The good guys and the bad guys. We just have to get it straight in our little heads and hearts. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.